time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program, For the Glory of God. If you would like a copy of the Bible Answers magazine without cost, send your request to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I know that you believe that God answers prayer, and so do I. But I also know that many prayers seemingly go unanswered, and so the question, why? But first, this program comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Ed, many prayers are for the recovery of those who are sick, but many do not recover. So, again, the question, why?
It is true that circumstances vary, but these circumstances are all related to one all-important factor, which is the will of God. If I should ask God for a blessing which is not His will for me to have, my prayer will not be granted.
But, Ed, it would seem to be in harmony with the will of a loving God that a sick person should recover his health rather than to die.
Before we get on to cases, Russell, let us examine the principles involved. First, what is it that governs the will of God for His people in all their relationships to Him?
I suppose it is the matter of what is really best for us. And, of course, we are not wise enough to know just what is best for ourselves. Is that the real answer?
Well, it's getting near to it. However, even more important than our own personal welfare is the glory of God. In the final analysis, of course, that would contribute to the greatest and most lasting happiness of God's people brings the greatest glory to Him.
In other words, we are not always able to see the smiling face behind God's seemingly frowning providences.
Well, that's very beautifully stated. I have in mind an incident in the life of Jesus which I think will illustrate the manner in which God's providences operate for the greatest good of His people, even though, to begin with, they may seem harsh and unkind. I am thinking of the sickness and death of Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary of Bethany.
I remember the account very well. At the time Lazarus became ill, Jesus and His disciples were some distance from Bethany. Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, whom Thou lovest is sick."
That's right. Now let us think of this as being somewhat in the nature of a prayer, and doubtless Martha and Mary did earnestly pray to God for the recovery of their brother, and they believed that when they notified Jesus of His illness, He would immediately come to them and restore Lazarus to health.
But, Ed, they were disappointed. According to the narrative, Jesus waited for 2 days and then announced to His disciples that Lazarus was dead.
And that's the very point we should notice, Russell. Jesus loved this little family at Bethany, which means that His Heavenly Father also loved them. But their request that Lazarus be restored to health was not granted. He was allowed to die, and you ask why? The Bible explains that it was for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.
Okay, but in the case of Lazarus, after he had been dead 4 days, Jesus employed the power of God to restore him to life again. And, yes, that did bring glory to God, all right. But, Ed, it doesn't work out that way with the thousands who die despite earnest prayers for their recovery. They remain dead, while their relatives and friends are really heartbroken.
The difference, Russell, is only in the point of time. Lazarus remained dead for 4 days. The thousands you speak of will also be awakened from the sleep of death in God's due time, which will be during the thousand-year reign of Christ and his church. You spoke of thousands who are allowed to die. Actually, God has promised that all the millions of the human race are to be awakened from the sleep of death. You see, God loves them all, not merely those who have relatives or friends to pray for them.
But, Ed, for many of these millions, it means remaining in death for thousands of years, doesn't it? As against the 4 days in the case of Lazarus.
I realize that's true, yet for each one, the moment of awakening will be like the moment of death. They will have no consciousness of the time which has elapsed. As for their relatives and friends who may have prayed for their recovery, their waiting will only be the short remaining time of their present life when they, too, will fall asleep in death until they are wakened by the power of God in the morning of the new day.
Ed, several times you have spoken of those who have died as falling asleep in death. It's a simple way of explaining death, but is it in full harmony with the Bible?
Very much so, Russell. The thought is emphasized in the record of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. After he had died, Jesus announced to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." The disciples thought Jesus spoke of a natural sleep, so he said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Over and over again in both the Old and New Testaments, the dead are spoken of as being asleep.
The use of the word sleep, to my mind, implies the thought of there being awakening in the morning.
And that's very true, and it's in keeping with this symbol that the Bible speaks of the time of the general resurrection as a new day, and sometimes in the as the morning which follows a night of weeping. David wrote, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning."
I notice in the experience of Lazarus that when Jesus said to his sister Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again," she replied, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Is the last day mentioned by Martha the same as the morning of joy of which David speaks?
Yes, it's the same period of time in the divine plan. The divine plan of salvation is simple and beautiful. Paul wrote that in Adam all die, and then added, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Had it not been for the redemptive work of Christ, Adam and his race would have gone into death forever.
In that case, the dead could not be referred to as being asleep.
That's the point. It was the death of Jesus as the Redeemer that transformed death into sleep. A sleep from which there will be an awakening in that morning of joy foretold by the prophets.
I see. Is that why Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life"?
Yes, it was. And one of the purposes of all Jesus' miracles was to help us understand the realities of kingdom blessings of health and life, which will reach the people during the last great day or age in the divine plan, the millennium.
And I can just imagine how happy Martha and Mary must have been. Their sadness over Lazarus' death must have quickly vanished in the discovery that the Lord had a better way of answering their prayers than they had anticipated. And certainly it was all to the glory of God, as you have mentioned.
And so it will be in the experience of all mankind. And so you see, God does answer prayer. Not always in our way, but in his own way, which is far better for us and is sure to resound to his own glory. And now, Russell, will you tell our friends about the study book, Does God Answer Prayer?
Thank you, Ed. I will. And after listening to you, I am sure we all are convinced that God does answer prayer. And that, friends, is the reassuring message of the study on prayer, which will be sent to you free upon request. What is the purpose of prayer? What is one of the questions you will find answered in God Answers Prayer? Knowing the answer to this question will help you to understand where prayers sometimes are not answered or seemingly are not answered. What did Jesus want us to understand when he gave his disciples the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven"? This inspired prayer has been offered by millions of Christians. When will it be answered, and how will its answer affect your life and mine? How will it affect our loved ones, the living and the dead? These questions and many more you will find answered in the study, "Does God Answer Prayer?" So send for your free copy today. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the study on prayer. Just the one word "prayer" will do, and it will be mailed to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.